I've had something kind of on my heart off and on for a handful of weeks, actually, and in a couple different contexts, I've kind of said a few things pertaining to it, but maybe I'll try to kind of get it out as best I can here, at least kind of throw it out there as something that will maybe lead to a discussion that we can have together as a group, kind of for the second half of our time. But this thing that's been on my heart, it's kind of like sometimes when maybe the Lord is kind of tugging at your heart about something, you kind of, at least I sometimes notice it in a handful of verses or kind of lots of things I'm reading, stuff will pop out. And I'll just start with this verse in Acts I read a couple nights ago that I felt like spoke to me about this very thing. It's in Acts chapter 11, just like a little phrase in the context of this kind of description of how Barnabas came up to Antioch and started spending time with the church there. And it says in Acts 11:23, it says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And it was specifically that phrase, with purpose of heart, that they should continue with the Lord. That just kind of grabbed my attention and felt like it gave some language to the thing that's kind of been bubbling in my heart for a little bit, is something, I don't know how to say it better than that, maybe this kind of feeling and this desire to, like, personally and as a group, that we would be really careful about making sure that with a real purpose of heart, we are continuing with the Lord. There's a handful of other verses too that maybe kind of go along with this. I'll read a couple of those and then I'll just maybe make a few comments after that. But another one is in Psalm chapter 34. I think it's 34. Psalm 34 has this chunk that is also quoted kind of at length by Peter in the New Testament. But this is Psalm 34:11. He says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." And goes on from there. And specifically the phrase in there that kind of grabs me is verse 14, where it says, "Seek peace and pursue it." I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was talking to some of you on the camping trip, this other verse, I won't go there, but it's in Hebrews. It's one I bring up pretty frequently. Just that little phrase where the author of Hebrews says, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And that word to pursue, it's the same thing in Psalm 34 where, you know, the Lord kind of speaking through David says, like, listen to me if you want to learn something important, something real. And then he starts talking about, like, departing, you know, keeping your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit, depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. And then in Hebrews, pursue holiness, without which no one will fear the Lord. And then the thing that actually comes up a whole bunch of time in Acts, the one I could have read two or three other places in Acts, there's multiple places where, like, Paul and Barnabas or Silas, and they're they seem really, really clear and focused that it wasn't enough for them to just kind of go one time to one place in all their journeys and share the gospel and see some people's hearts soften and turn to the Lord. They very, very intentionally kept saying, all right, now let's go back to all the places we visited. And it was for the same thing that phrase with Barnabas is that they kept encouraging them and exhorting them that they would go on with the Lord, that they would continue, that they would, pursue something, that they would not, that their hearing and accepting of the gospel with joy wouldn't be kind of the beginning and the end of their spiritual story. You know, like think about that parable of the sower. Some of the seed sprung up, right? And of course, there was some of the seed that never, got eaten right away and the enemy snatched it from the heart. But others sprung up in soil where there was immediately a little bit of growth, but then there wasn't a continuation. There wasn't a perseverance. There wasn't there wasn't over time a bringing forth of an increase and a harvest. And I think of that when I think of like the apostles going back around in the book of Acts is they knew it wasn't okay just that there was like this brief moment or a few weeks or a few months where the disciples were felt alive and encouraged and were forsaking the evil that was in their life and, burning their piles of books of sorcery or whatever they did in that one place that they couldn't just like rest on that and say like, oh, that's fantastic. Isn't that, they were gripped with this kind of reality that those people needed to, with purpose of heart, continue with the Lord. And that there was a pursuit, pursue holiness. There's something to be pursued, but Paul says it in another place. He speaks of running a race and training to run a race as if only one person is going to get the prize, and you live in such a way that you kind of think and feel and organize your life in the same way that somebody who was really intent on winning a race. Like imagine if you had, like I've never been in a race where I had any hope of possibly like winning it my entire life, but imagine you're some sort of world-class runner like Paige. And but if you really like had a shot at it and you're, I don't know, training for the Olympics or something, kind of everything would become like everything else would kind of come underneath that goal. You know what I mean? Like what you ate and when you went to bed and everything would kind of come under that reality. And why? And you'd say like, why are you living like this? You could talk to somebody training for the Olympics and say like, why are you training so much and everything you eat is for a reason and you're not doing this and why all of that? And it's because they have like this purpose, they have purpose of heart. Now in that case, it's for something vain and transitory and kind of foolish. But we have an eternal prize and a calling set before us, a possibility, an eternal life and an eternal death hanging in the balance. And all those like metaphors that Paul uses and others and Jesus used to describe, they're like really, really real and really important. Another metaphor is like Paul talks about a soldier. Like if you're engaged in a war, then all your priorities change, and you endure hardness as a soldier and you live out or you camp out in a tent or whatever they used to do back then. But it changes everything because there's something you're doing that is sort of consuming you and it's causing all the other things to come under that one thing. And this is kind of what like I feel like Barnabas was saying to the Antioch Christians is like he was really encouraged. Like he saw what the grace of God had done. He saw this wonderful beginning, but he didn't have a mindset of, okay, there's clearly like a work of grace here, and so let's just kind of hang on or celebrate that. Like he felt like there had to be there was something to say to those people, which is, friends, we, with purpose of heart, we need to continue with the Lord. And those other scriptures I mentioned, that word pursue, that's something that's been on my heart. Pursue holiness. Maybe one of the reasons I kind of want to say this is I feel this a lot for my life, for my heart, is I've just come to know myself well enough over the years that I have, like, I think what I hope is a healthy fear of just kind of my heart, my heart's, the possibility of my heart and my life just kind of like stagnating, drifting, not going on with the Lord, kind of losing that purpose, losing that pursuit, losing that expectation, that intentional, like active, engaged way of with all the heart walking before the Lord. I find that my heart wants to give up, wants to rest, wants to sit down, wants to find a broader path, wants to, you name it, you know, and I have this, I see that tendency so much in me. And it's not just that I see it in me, like I've been alive in the world long enough that you start to get a few decades of kind of observing human nature and seeing your friends and your neighbors and loved ones and just people kind of moving through lives, not at the scale of days, but in the scale of like years and decades. And you just kind of see that there's always, we've talked about this a lot, but there's always something growing in the human heart. There's always a movement. There's no just kind of holding in one spot forever. It's like you're losing ground or you're gaining ground, or something's gaining ground in you and something's losing ground in you. And for a lot of the people that I kind of have observed around me just in the wider world, it seems like the wrong things are growing. Or you could say that they're pursuing the wrong things, and they're sowing to the wrong nature and the wrong life, the wrong expectation, the wrong interests and entertainments and loves and desires, and they're always reaping a harvest, and they're not. And I just kind of see that, and I know I'm not exempt from that. In fact, I feel like I could put myself at the front of that line and say, that has been me. I've spent years doing that, and I feel the tendency in it. And I don't want to deceive myself about my state. I want to be going on with the Lord. I want to continue with the Lord and not, I want to be pursuing holiness. I want to be seeking peace and pursuing it. I want to be running a race, all those things. And I just feel how much my heart, my flesh kind of wants to totally tap out of that all the time and just kind of coast or drift or all some of the other words the scripture uses. And so, yeah, that word pursuit, that just kind of, that hits it for me too, that like an Olympic athlete is pursuing something. I kind of have this question in my heart sometimes, like, am I pursuing peace? Am I pursuing holiness? Am I pursuing a gradual leaving behind of every bit of sin and self and love of the world? Is that something I'm actually doing with my days, doing with my energy, doing with my will and my heart? And are other things getting like pulled down under that instead of the other way around, instead of my relationship with the Lord is kind of this thing that everything else like buries and and kind of comes on top of, you know? Or this question I have, I often kind of ask myself, like, is the Lord gaining ground in me? And this is, I want to be real, real honest that this is kind of like, this is, to use sort of a cliche phrase, I feel like these are sort of shark infested waters when you talk about this. Like, on the one hand, I want to say to myself every day, and I think it's appropriate to say to all of us, like, is the Lord gaining ground in us? Are we like, what was your last week about? Was there a real pursuit? Can you say that your heart had a purpose to continue with the Lord? And like, I feel like those are really valid and appropriate things to kind of think about and ask ourselves and wrestle with. And yet there's kind of like, I feel like there's dangerous ways to take those questions where you can kind of go off to the left and you can go off to the right and you can kind of take them in a wrong way and you can head down a wrong path. But it doesn't take away kind of the right way to like think about these questions and the fact that I think that we don't need to be so scared of kind of like the left-hand errors and the right-hand errors that we don't really wrestle with this at, like, individually and like as a body. It's like, is the Lord gaining ground in us? And I guess kind of one of the biggest things that always jumps in my mind when I think about saying this or sharing this is like, I really understand, I do think I understand a couple things, that there is a kind of like striving and pursuing and an activity and a zeal that, especially like a religious zeal and activity that is like in the flesh and is not helpful and not useful. I totally understand that. In fact, I can say that I feel like I've done as much misguided, zealous religious activity as most people. I'd put my history in that area up against most all of anyone. Maybe there's a couple of you guys here that I wouldn't, but but I've been there. I've felt kind of like I've felt zeal in the flesh or zeal. I don't know if it was I don't know what it was, but I felt like a misguided zeal that was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be the best and the most awesome for God. And I'm going to be a history maker and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to pray more and fast more and just kind of like, I felt the running in your own strength. And there's a part of me that just thinks like, oh, don't say this stuff, because what if people just like run off and just go like take it the wrong way and they kind of do the thing that never worked for you, Jared. Don't do that. And yet I can't deny that just because there's a way to completely botch this, doesn't mean there's not a way to walk with the Lord in this, to like understand and know what Barnabas meant when he said, hey guys, with purpose of heart, you need to continue with the Lord. Not a striving in the flesh, not like a foolish zeal without knowledge, not going back to the things of the law. Remember the apostles were always kind of correcting and like, oh, it's not this, it's definitely not that, you know. But they never let the dangers and the errors that people were slipping into kind of take them out of the mode of also declaring to them, like really honestly and really faithfully, this fact that there is a, that the Lord ought to be gaining ground in us, and that there is a real pursuit, that there is a real purpose that we want to be living in and living under day by day. And so, so definitely, I don't know how to like, I don't know how to qualify this all right, but I want to really clearly say and acknowledge that the thing you don't do is just kind of wake up and in sort of blind self-directed zeal and activity, just go off and you know, go as hard for the Lord as you can figure out in whatever direction you want. Like, that's not what I mean at all. I gave this analogy like a couple weeks ago at YAM, where I was saying, like, I was trying to describe what I've been slowly learning about what it means to really walk with all my heart before the Lord. And I gave this kind of analogy of like a kid being out in the woods. And like, the wrong way to think about it is just to be like, okay, here I am, I'm out somewhere, and I know I'm supposed to be moving. And so the person, I'm the kid in the analogy, I feel like a kid, you know. So the kid in the woods just starts blindly thrashing and hacking in some direction and just fighting through and bloodying himself and just going somewhere in the name of going somewhere. And that's a little bit, to me, kind of what, like, just like movement for movement's sake is, you know? And yet you don't want to say like, well, that's not it. That's not the Lord. So we'll just sit down here and do nothing, you know? And I think the way it feels to me is like Barnabas said, continue with the Lord. It's not just you continue, you just go somewhere. Like, the Lord is this journey, this salvation is the Lord bringing us somewhere, pulling us somewhere. I think like every day it's as if he's kind of like, in different ways and more and less discernible, but kind of extending his hand to us and like tugging us and guiding us further, wanting to bring us out of the condition and the state that we're in and gradually purify us. And each day, whether we can feel it or not, and I think most days we can't, but to keep moving us into a better place. And so the energy and the strength of that child would be much better placed if he focused on like grabbing hold of like the hand of his father who's trying to lead him some direction, and not just say like, oh, father, aren't you proud of me? I just went that way all day and I made it like 20 yards, you know? But that's not the point. The point isn't activity. The point isn't effort. The point is to go where the Father is leading us. And I think that it's taken me a while to kind of feel that, but that difference of, yes, purpose of heart, that we want, but it's not like a blind purpose. It's a purpose of heart to continue with the Lord, to cling to the Lord, to look to him, to seek to walk before him, to seek to keep him always in our view, to always try to feel our will subjected to him, or at least our will willing to know his will at all times. And because he's, yeah, that analogy has kind of definitely helped me. And it's just so easy. And I feel like there's a lot of voices in the world and the church who will set up these sort of false dichotomies and these straw men and say, well, like, we can't just do blind religious striving in the flesh and legalism. That's definitely not it. And as if the only other option is you just sit down and you do nothing, you know? And that's not, we don't have to choose between like doing nothing and striving in the flesh. There is, like Paul described this so much. He used a lot of really strong language just to say things like, I forget everything that's behind and I press on, I press forward. Not that I've attained, but this one thing I do, like I forget about that stuff and I press forward. I don't think you can say that Paul was like in legalism and in the flesh, you know? He found and knew a way of pressing on with the Lord and continuing with the Lord. And I really like that he says that, even that phrase of like forgetting what's behind, because that's a thing that trips us up a lot. Like, I don't, so if you, one of the other parts of the shark infested water is like, I worry that people could just like get overly discouraged and be like, oh, I keep failing all the time, you know, or I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere, or this sin that I'm struggling with like pops up from time to time still. And there's this, I think there's like a trap where you can kind of you can, I want to say this carefully because like you, sin is like something absolutely serious and never to be trifled with and always to be hated and denied and our heart to be set against it. And yet when weakness and failure manifests itself, like we have to, we can be tripped up by kind of not learning to do what Paul did, which is like to hate it and turn from it and forget it and move on, to kind of like immediately to set it behind us and to continue on, not to continue on with an intent to ever do it again or an acceptance of it, like, oh, that wasn't a big deal and I'm sure I'm going to do it in the future. That's not what I mean. Like, that's not our relationship towards sin, but to be able to kind of learn this way where we, when we stumble, when we feel our weakness, when we feel our immaturity, when stuff that we're struggling with pops up again, that we believe in the love and the mercy and the goodness of our Father. We turn our heart against it. We resolve to, with His help, to never do it again. And then we don't get stuck there kind of gazing at it, you know. We forget about it, and we, with purpose of heart, we move on. Because I think there can be there's different states and there's different personalities and there's different temperaments. And if you really kind of grab hold of this idea of pursuit and pursuing the Lord and going on with the Lord, then there's a state and a temperament that I think is really prone to kind of discouragement and feeling weakness and feeling failure so much that it kind of trips us up. And that is something to be avoided too. That's kind of like one of those errors, one of those sharks. But just because it's there doesn't mean that we still have to jump in and swim in those waters. I guess I'll say kind of this one other thing, which is pursuit. Like, I think it's worth asking ourselves. It's worth considering regularly. Is the Lord gaining ground in me? Am I pursuing holiness? Is there an active and an engaged kind of intention of my heart? Those are good questions to ask. But I would also say that one thing I've learned is, and I would just kind of submit this as, I'd love to hear kind of in a minute when we switch to discussion, if you guys have different sort of ways of looking at it. But what's kind of slowly made sense to me over time is, as good and as wise as that question is, and I mean the question of, is the Lord gaining ground in me? We have to kind of be careful how we answer it, because we don't have the greatest tools and ability to kind of like measure the progress of the work of the Lord in our hearts. And so does that undo everything that you just said, Jared? I don't think it does, actually, but I think it's something you have to reckon with. And you can get discouraged. I've had some discouragement I have to kind of like fight through and realize kind of wasn't right, where I'm kind of in this very like narrow focused of like, is anything happening with me and the Lord? Is like, am I overcoming anything? Is the Lord actually taking ground? And I'm looking at today and I'm comparing it to last Tuesday, or I'm looking at today and yesterday, and I just don't, I can't see it. I feel it. Some days I just wake up and I feel worse and I feel duller and I feel more, my faith feels smaller, and it's like, oh, what's happening, you know? And kind of the thing that I've sort of come to is that I think it's wise to not try to like measure or feel that growth in short time increments. And instead, I think what sort of makes sense is, if you're thinking on like a day-to-day basis, if you're thinking about days and weeks, then I think the thing you want to sort of like pay attention to is like the disposition of your heart, the engagement of your heart in those days. Do you know what I mean? Like I would at that focus level, when you're zoomed down to like a day or a week or even like a month, I've had to kind of say to myself, like, Jared, you're not allowed to try to like make these assessments about like how you're doing. But if you want to assess how you're doing, use that word, or you want to fight against this possibility of the human soul drifting and kind of straying from God, then think about and feel kind of the engagement of your heart with the Lord, because that can be steady even if like you're having a good day or you have a bad day. You know what I mean? There's a way that I've felt that when my faith is tiny and everything seems hard, or there's other stuff going on, where my heart can be in it with the Lord. You know what I mean? And then, or I can be, my heart can be not really in it with the Lord. And so I think that for me, and I just kind of throw it out as maybe like a useful thing, like when you're in these small time scales, the thing you want to kind of be thinking about and feeling is like, did I give my heart to the Lord in the condition that I was in today, and what was going on naturally and physically and spiritually with my faith? And did the Lord have my heart as best as I knew how to give it to him today? And don't worry about if you felt worse today than you did yesterday, or this thing seems better. Like, don't forget about all that stuff, you know? But really focus on the direction of your heart, the thing your heart was hopefully reaching for or fighting for. If your faith was low, was your heart fighting to hang on to the Lord? If your faith was bigger, was your like heart walking with the Lord in that faith, you know? Or, you know, if you're feeling bad, did you just give up with your heart? Or maybe even more common, if you were feeling good, did your heart just completely go off into the world or into other things? Like, what was your heart doing in the short term? And then I think if we focus on that, then we're focusing on kind of the right thing and the one thing that we can control. And then only... But I do think there's like another level where I think at like very large time horizons, we should be wrestling with these questions of like, is the Lord gaining ground in us? And still just know that we're bad at measuring these things. And if you're prone to like discouragement or depression, maybe, you know, just factor that in or stuff like that. But you still want to ask yourself, like what's growing in me over 5 years, over 10 years, you know, like is, and be really honest with yourself too. Like is the world and its cares getting bigger in your mind? Are passing unimportant things? Like, do you feel more invested in them than you did 5 years ago, you know, or than 10 years ago? Or on the flip side, like our spiritual and eternal and heavenly things, like do they feel a little bit bigger? Are they on your mind more? Not in the week time frame, but in the 5 year time frame. Like, what's really happening with us? What, as we are aging, are we becoming people kind of more and more living and acting like pilgrims kind of passing through the world with our affections more and more disentangled, with our hearts more set, with our minds more continually coming back to things that are good and real and true and precious and eternal? That I think is what that's what should be happening to us over these long time horizons. And I think that those things will happen to us if in the days and the weeks we are paying real close attention to our heart and whether each day our heart is with the Lord in whatever state we're in, you know, and then that begins to happen. And just be really, and also be really concerned in a way that we don't just grow old and grow stronger in like worldly stuff and worldly loves and worldly fears and everything, you know what I mean? But that, like, I feel like I'm being a little repetitive, but that the thing you don't want to do that is say like, oh, well, I'm gonna fix it tomorrow, and I better, you know, by tomorrow night, I better notice that like my heart is different. You just can't, at least that's never worked for me. And I've felt a little bit more like stability and peace in kind of saying, Lord, I know that you're trying to take me somewhere and I really want to get there. And I believe that every day your hand is like extended to me on the days when I feel good and the days when I feel bad. And Lord, would you just help me like this day? This is the only thing I've got right now is this day. I want to kind of be seeking something and pursuing it, not blindly thrashing off on my own, but like each kind of morning waking up and trying to feel the hand of my Father and which direction he's tugging and which one he's pulling me. And then kind of give myself with my heart, whatever I have to do during that day naturally or outwardly, try to give my heart to that that direction where he is tugging me. And then hopefully kind of feel when I lay my head down at night, like to be able to say like, I have no idea what truly is going on, but I think you had my heart today, Lord. And I wish I could say that more nights than I do. I'm slowly kind of learning that that's the most important thing to focus on is did the Lord really have my heart? Did he have the purpose of my heart? Was my heart actively engaged? Were we pursuing something together? Was I trying to get from where I am to some other place? Not by myself, not by my own decision of where I want to go. You know, like it's not. There's so many beautiful pictures of this in the Bible too. That like, I was just thinking about the like in Numbers where. There's this point where the Lord brings them up to kind of the border of the promised land. And he says like, you know, they're supposed to go in. You guys know the story. And they're scared and they won't do it. And they say no. And then the Lord begins to deal with them and speaks that, okay, because you did this, we're going to go, we're going to turn into the wilderness. And he speaks to them about kind of what's going to happen now because they refused. And then they kind of like feel this sort of remorse and they go, never mind, we totally botched it. We're going to go do the fight, you know? And they got their swords out and put their shields on or whatever they did and they went out, but like the Lord wasn't with them, you know? That because it wasn't they couldn't just say, like the Lord's goal wasn't just like, you need to cross this and be in this like country. The Lord was trying to take them there and then they wouldn't go with him and it didn't, they couldn't just like fake it later, you know what I mean? And that's how our lives are too. Like we are so dependent on him. And we can't just like figure out where we think he's trying to get us to go and go like fight that direction too. We need to like humbly cling to him. But it is, I do think there's it that it's important to feel that pursuit, that our Christian lives feel like a race, not a race we're running alone, and not a blind race, but still, it's that there's something we're doing that we can sort of say with Paul, like I'm forgetting what is behind, and I'm pressing forward for something. There's a high calling. There's a place the Lord's pulling me to. There's holiness which must be pursued. If we want to know the real fear of the Lord, then there's iniquity and evil that needs to be turned from, and there's peace and righteousness that needs to be sought with our whole heart. And we don't have to be scared of the boogeyman of like legalism and self-righteousness, you know, We don't have to choose between self-righteousness and inactivity. You know, there is a way to walk with the Lord in this, and to give him our hearts. I liked what Frank said last week. I forget exactly the words he said, but just like the, he said something about like, are we absolutely or entirely like willing to, how he said that, but like to me, I just remember kind of this question of like, are we holding back anything from the Lord at all? And that doesn't mean that we can't just like immediately conquer everything that's before us, but it's like I felt sort of this question about like my heart, is it willing to do his will, or is it at least like willing to be made willing, you know? Do we have any like secret place where we're kind of saying, I'm going to hang on to this part, or I feel like that kind of relates to this just because I want us all to be, pressing forward like Paul does. I want us as like a body to be pursuing something, taking ground. I want to be able to like in 5 years look back and feel like the Lord's gained ground in MSF and our friends, you know? And yet I know what the days sometimes feel like too. And I know that we can't conquer all these enemies at once, and that one of the very thing that the Lord is kind of doing with us while we're on this journey with him is he's teaching us how weak we are and how we absolutely can do nothing without him. So this is not like a pep talk for us to just kind of go be strong in our own strength, you know? But like, is our heart there with the Lord? Are we willing to let him take us where he wants us to go? And some days, I'll be honest, I don't feel willing, but I can usually at least find a place in me where I can say, I think with some honesty to the Lord, like, I'm willing to be made willing. And to me, that kind of gets back to the whole thing of like, if that's all we've got, then we fight there that day. And we say like, I'm not sure if I am willing about this thing, Lord, but I hate the fact that I'm not willing, and I'm willing to be made willing. And if we kind of engage with the Lord at that, if that's all we've got that one day, we engage kind of with the Lord in that, and we can say like, Lord, you had my heart today, you know? And I think there's some stuff in us that's just kind of so deep that like, we have to sort of say to the Lord, like, I'm willing to be made willing about this. And I was just thinking about this about this little story in the book of Joshua. It's where they're trying to conquer Ai, like the second time. I'm pretty sure it's Ai. Like after, it's not the part about when they failed the first time. But when they go back and they fight Ai, like Joshua says, like, should we go? He says something like, should we go take Ai? And instead of the Lord just saying like, yep, now you got like the hidden thing is sort of like taken out of your midst, just go conquer it. He says, actually, I want you to do something different here. I want you to like split your army in two parts, and then this group's going to come forward, and then the people in Ai are going to come out of their city, and then the people behind the city are going to like rush in and set fire to the city. Do you guys remember that? And it's kind of like a strange thing. Like, why would... I've wondered like why, like the Lord, you're powerful enough to just like go... give them, stomp out the victory and make it work, you know? And it just kind of, I don't know if this is the right interpretation of it, so maybe I'm out on a limb here, but I was thinking about that, like, that's what I feel like the Lord has to do with me sometimes. Like, there's some, like, strongholds in me where it's like, maybe they fall down easily or quickly with this, like, head-on direct assault, like Jericho, like, just, you know, the Lord just comes and takes it. Or, but there's other things where I kind of go, like, Lord, you're going to have to, like some of those things where I feel like I'm willing to be made willing, I kind of, I pray these prayers kind of, not exactly in this language, but in this way of like, this is a tough one, Lord, this is a deep one, or this one comes out only by prayer and fasting. Like, I think you might have to sneak around the back door of this one, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I can just sort of like ask the Lord to undermine the thing that's propping up the thing that I'm not willing to give up yet, because that's all I've got. You know what I mean? And it just kind of hit me, this feeling of like, Lord, there's stuff in my life where, I need you to kind of like come around from behind and trick me and pull my forces out here. And then while I'm not looking, take a shot at that and then burn the city. And then that's the way we need to deal with this one. You know what I mean? Because I can't always, I don't know, maybe I'm unique in that, but I feel kind of both. I guess I'm trying to say these two things at once, is that the Lord has really convinced me that I've got to be running a race, that I've got to be pursuing something with all my heart. And at the same time, he's taught me my weakness in a way that is like really, really real to me as well. And both those things, like, they don't contradict each other. You know, they can be like, they should both be kind of like alive in our hearts. Yes, we're weak. Yes, we can do nothing without him. Yes, we want to avoid a religious striving in the flesh, but we have this incredibly good leader. We have the Holy Spirit. We have his grace and light in our heart. We have this incredibly merciful and forgiving God who wants us to come out, who's kind of tugging and pulling us every day if we'll listen, and will teach us how to pursue him, and will teach us what purpose of heart means, and will, if we let him, if we just kind of stay in the moment with him, if he has all of our heart, in the short term, in the hours and the minutes and the days, then, he knows when to take the city head on. He knows when to ambush it from behind. You know, he knows that, but we've got to really commit our hearts to him. And I think it's right and valuable to kind of to ask ourselves and think about this question of pursuit and where are we going? Are we going somewhere? Do we think we're not going? Or if we're going, maybe we're literally going the wrong direction. But to kind of have this cry in our hearts of like, Lord, I want to go on with you, and I want our body to go on with you, and I don't want to stagnate, and I don't want to grow old and grow strong in worldly junk. I want to grow old and grow brighter. You know that proverb that says the path of the just or the righteous goes brighter and brighter until the full day or something like that. And I feel like many of the Quakers I read about, you could just sort of watch them in their like journals, and they seemed like they shine brighter and purer into their old age. And it's like that's what I want. And we're not going to get there with just one decision to kind of become that. We have to get there the same way they got there, which is by giving our heart to the Lord, being in the pursuit with kind of feeling that purpose, and stringing together a lot of days where we just give the Lord our heart, and then we wake up and we do it again. And I think maybe I'll stop there, and you,